to you, sir. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Dwayne. I'm going to honor this man for his legacy here in New York. Done a phenomenal job. We honor you and your legacy. Thank you for your leadership here in New York and the national level as an executive presbyter. Thank you for what you do. You and Beverly are beautiful people. Thank you, Greg, for this invite, lovely wife and your family. My first time to your summit. Thank you for allowing me to come. I want to greet David, assistant superintendent here in New York. He's a board member of U.S. Missions somewhere around here today. There he is. Bless you, my brother. Thank you all. And all the pastors, if you are a lead pastor of your local church, would you stand? If you're a lead pastor. Come on, give it up. Yeah. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. What a joy to be with you all. I brought my son with me, Pito. This is my son. I've got three kids, two girls and my son. And later this afternoon, I'll show you some pictures of my family. Amen. So let's get right to it. America is in trouble. America, I've been saying across this nation, that America has drifted. And that there's a tsunami of immorality hitting the shores of America. And that the only answer to that drift is the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ's mandate has not changed. Regardless who sits in the White House, we don't care. If it's a donkey or an elephant, we don't care. Why? Because we represent the lion from the tribe of Judah. That's who we represent. And the days of playing it safe is over. The days of staying in the sideline is over. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we must engage culture with the truth, but in love. That's the only way. The Church of Jesus Christ is on planet Earth to legislate the Bible. And the Bible is offensive. People are going to get offended. But it's not your Bible. It's not your word. At U.S. Missions, we believe that the gospel must be displayed. Only the gospel changes lives. Not testimonies, not worship, not apologetics. They enhance the gospel, but they don't change lives. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. Amen? And to start off this summit today, I wanted to talk to you about five principles that you're going to need of a transformational leader. There's something that's called transactional and something that's called transformational. And the question this morning is what type of leader you want to become. You want to be a leader that's transactional or transformational? Transactional leader, they force issue. Transformational leader, they foster. A leader who stops learning stops leading. A leader who stops learning stops leading. So thank you for coming to this summit, because you represent your church and you want to learn. I don't care if you've been in ministry for 30 years, 40 years. When I pastored the church in Chicago, and Pastor alluded to it, I was at Tommy Barnett School of Ministry. My last time I went with 121 members from my church, leaders, because I want to learn. I want to keep learning. I want to be better as a youth pastor, women's director, worship leader. I never want to get to a place where I think I know it all. And so this morning, we're going to kick off this summit, and then I'm going to send you off to your workshops. You're going to get excited about it. No complaining that it's packed. No, that's the other conference. It's the conference of complaining. Amen. Let's begin. There are millions and millions and millions of leaders on planet Earth. Millions. But there are only hundreds that are transformational. Millions and millions of leaders on planet Earth, but there are only hundreds that are transformational. What's the difference, Pastor Choco? Intentionality. As a pastor of a local church, you got to be intentional in your community. Intentional. I'm going to go fish. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to go after the fish. Christians have been faithful with their presence, but we must be intentional when we're there. The difference between the two is intentionality. I want to make sure I honor time here. Let's begin. Number one, a transformational leader sees things that others don't see. In your paper, fill in the blank, if you have that. A transformational leader sees things that others don't see. What's the key word here is vision. It's vision. You need to have a vision for your ministry, for your local church. One day I was in a conference and I said to a pastor, I said, what's the vision for your church this year? You know what he told me? He said, Pastor Choco, my vision for my church this year is to paint the washrooms. I said, if your vision is to paint the washroom, then God's going to send you a plumber and a painter. But if your vision is to win your city for Jesus, then he's going to send you an army. We need vision. In 2025, you can't be cloudy. You cannot be, there cannot be ambiguity about what you're going, why you exist on planet Earth. You got to have vision to see things that others don't see. In the city of Chicago, one day there was a building that was like the Leaning Tower of Chicago. And it was leaning, and I went there with some of our leaders, and they're like, this is a piece of junk. I'm saying, it's beautiful. I said, by the way, one day you were leaning this way, and God strengthened you out. It can happen to this building. And sure enough, we bought it, and today they're offices. And a community bought it for like $170,000. It's worth like $800,000 now. Leaders see things that others don't see. Number two, a transformational leader says things that others don't say. One day in Chicago, In New Life Covenant, we adopted 15 schools, 11 feeder schools, and 4 high schools. When we started the church, there were 68 people in our church. My father-in-law pastored the church for 35 years, from 1965 to the year 2000. When he retired, he asked me if I would consider to run to be the pastor of this church. I said, no way. I'm married to his daughter, Elizabeth, my wife, and I'll show you the pictures later today. I said, no way. Your daughter does not want me to be a pastor, and I don't want to be a pastor. I want to be a state trooper. I want a gun. I said, I'll collect the offering. And when I see somebody give a dollar bill, I'll show them the gun. What's up with you giving a dollar? A devil is a liar. Amen. And so in one of the, when I say 15 schools, and what means we adopted, it meant that 6,200 students in those 15 schools would get free book bags, free immunization, free haircut, school supplies, all sponsored by New Life Covenant Church of the Assemblies of God. We spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in these events. And throughout the years, that's what we did. And we were collecting, as a pastor, I was collecting credit with these principles. How many know what I'm talking about? When you live in the inner city of any, New York, Chicago, Miami, LA, I mean, we got to build relationship. Even though I still believe that the church is the greatest institution on planet Earth. So throughout the years, I'm building relationship. Well, one particular day, our people were passing out the New Testament Bible. When the kids got out of their school, out of their cars of their parents in the high school, that our people were passing out the New Testament Bible, and the kids were taking it. Well, one kid walked into the school with the Bible, and when the teacher saw that he had the Bible in his hand, he snatched it out of his hand. Watch this. And then he said to the entire class of 30 students, he said, "The Bible is garbage." And he proceeded to throw it in the garbage. Now, this doesn't come out on CNN or Fox News. And so there was a kid in that class that went to my church. He picked up his phone, texted his father, "Papi." Just by that, you know he's Hispanic. "Papi." And by the way, you know what Hispanic means, right? Hispanic means that we're his, and we're going to bring panic to this nation. 100%. Papi, you would not believe what I just saw. The father gets the text, and he reads it, and then he sends me a text. "Pastor Choco, you would not believe what I just heard." I read the text, and I did what any man would do. I got in my car, and I went to the school, because it's one of the 15 schools. And the principal knows me. So she saw me coming to the school, and she said, "Reverend De Jesus, how you doing?" I said, "Not good." I said, "One of your teachers threw the Bible in the garbage. Go get him." So she leaves her office. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. I said a prayer. It wasn't spiritual, but I did end in Jesus' name. I said, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." I prayed that what he threw in the garbage was a math book, a science book. Because if he threw the Bible in the garbage, I'm going to kill him. In Jesus' name. Because when I got saved at 14 and my father abandoned me at the age of 8 years old at a bar, he left my mother with 6 children in the city of Chicago, and I got saved at 14, I'm all in. I don't know how it is in other places, but in the hood, you just can't talk about my father and my mother and like I'm not going to say something. I can say it. I can talk about them, but you can't talk about them. And when you talk about my heavenly father. So she comes back into the office with a tall Anglo atheist. I said, "My name is Reverend De Jesus. What's your name?" He gives me his name. I said, "Sit down. I want to talk to you." I said, "Is it true that you threw the Bible in the garbage?" And for a moment, y'all, I felt like God was in heaven calling the angels. And they're looking over the balcony of heaven. And that God was saying, "Check out my son." The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, "I looked for a man who would stand in the gap, and I found no one." God says, "I looked among New York to see what man, what woman would stand for what they believe." Sit down. And I told him that. And then he looked at me, church, and he said, "Yes, I did. My Puerto Rican blood. My word. How dare you," I said. "For thousands of years, people have climbed mountains. People have crossed rivers just to get a page of this book. You don't have the right to insult the faith of these kids in your classroom. Who do you think you are?" And I went after him like 3 or 4 minutes. Pew, 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 pew. Calling in Scud missiles. Pew, pew. Like for 3 or 4 minutes, then I looked to the right to see what the principal was doing, and she was looking up the wall. Her neck was red, and she's essentially saying, "Papa, you're on your own." And after 4 minutes, I said to the dude, I said, "Bro," that's how we talk in Chicago, "bro, you lucky I'm a pastor in this church, in this community. And we believe in repentance. And you will repent today. You, principal, get on the intercom and tell all the teachers to respect the Bible. You go back to your classroom, get the Bible out of the garbage, and ask for forgiveness to your students." Attention, faculty, attention, faculty. He walked over there, took the Bible, asked for forgiveness. Boom, boom, boom. I left the classroom. I left the school. Got in my car. And then reality settled in. Choco, are you crazy? I mean, we had over 30 properties in the city of Chicago. I mean, the mayor could make my life a living hell, sending inspectors to all of my buildings. I'm like, oh my God, Lord Jesus. But a transformational leader says things that others don't say. I would say that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, transformational leader. I would say that Corrie Ten Boom, transformational leader. I would say that Dr. King came against the giant of Jim Crow, transformational leader. I would say that John the Baptist, transformational leader. And then the ultimate transformational leader is Jesus Christ on planet Earth. Write this down. People will give you their head if you give them a title. But they'll give you their heart if you give them courage. Pastors, people will give you their head if you give them a title. But they'll give you their heart if you give them courage. The key word for a transformational leader that says things that others don't say is courage. God, what is wisdom to you all? What is wisdom? It's important to have wisdom. But what is wisdom if you don't have courage to carry it out? Amen. Wisdom is awesome. And wisdom comes from God. Amen. Knowledge comes from man, but wisdom comes from God. And God gives you wisdom, but ask him to give you courage to carry out that wisdom. Does that make sense? A transformational leader says things that others don't say. People will give you their head if you give them a title. But people will give you their heart if you give them courage. Number three, a transformational leader feels things that others don't feel. The key word there is discernment. Philippians 1:9 says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit, by the way, we're Spirit-moved people. Okay, good. We're Pentecostals. Okay, good. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for all AG churches. That they cry out. The person without the Spirit does not accept things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're not discerned only through the Spirit. So a transformational leader, you feel things. You ever walked into a room as a leader and you're like, something's wrong here. Lord, show me. God gives you discernment for the days, for the times we live in. God gives you discernment to speak, to say something. Number four, a transformational leader believes what others don't believe. Matthew 19:26 says this, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Look at me, church. God doesn't have a problem with your doubting. He doesn't have a problem with your doubting. He has a problem with your disbelief. I believe God's going to do amazing things in the United States. There's a hunger. When I was preaching in Iowa, a revival service, fifth and sixth graders at the altar, speaking in tongues. A move of God. Believe. Believe that God can do it here in Hudson Valley. Believe that God can do it here in New York. Because we serve a God that wants us to believe. It's going to happen. And God can rescue your family. Are you with me? Yes. Number five, a transformational leader does things that others don't do. They do things, crazy stuff. I mean, there are going to be times in your life, folks, that you're going to have to be willing to look like a fool. That's the problem with Instagram. That's the problem with the editing. Because before you send it out to everybody you that follows you, let me edit this. Let me look good. And I'm just trying to tell you this morning at this leadership summit that there's going to come days in your life as a leader that you're going to have to look like a fool. Crazy. Come on now. Sarah must have looked crazy at Walmart, at the maternity section, at 90. Crazy. Can you imagine the conversation when there goes a young lady? And says, ma'am, the senior citizens are in this section. She says, I know, but I'm about to have a baby. Look like a fool. I'm sure David looked like a fool picking up a rock. I'm sure Peter looked like a fool coming out of the boat. I'm sure Noah looked like a fool building an ark in a desert with not a cloud in the sky. He's got to do things, even if it looks crazy. God told me to do this. The Lord called me to do this. And let me just tell you, Pastor, sometimes it's just best when God calls you to do something, you're going to have to do it. Come on, when I put this down, I thought everybody was going to say amen. Like three people said amen. The last pastor that listened to the majority of the people stood in the wilderness for 40 years. Don't you think in the city of Chicago, the things that we did was crazy? That people thought like, Choco is insane. One of the things I did was I heard we had a problem with prostitution. Right? The police commander came to me and said, Reverend, we have a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, we've arrested 600 women in 9 months for a prostitution, unduplicated. Is there anything your church can do? I said, Commander, we will pray for you guys. Now, how many believe in the power of prayer? Yes. Now, let me teach you this morning. Can I come down? Is that all right? Yeah, okay. I like to come down so I can slap people. I believe in the power of prayer, and I might mess up the sound, people, but I want you to write this down. With revelation comes responsibility. When God reveals to you the condition of Hudson Valley, New York, yes, we should pray as a church, as a ministry, as a pastor, but now we got to do something. Once God reveals to you the condition of your community, yes, pray. We got to do something. And so I went home. I told my wife, Elizabeth, I said, babe, they arrested 600 women in 9 months. This is crazy. I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning like if my father said, Choco, buy a farm. Farm. Now, mind you, I'm in the hood of Chicago. There's no farm. It's all buildings. So I go to my church, like obedient, because understanding can wait. I want you to write this down. Understanding can wait, but obedience cannot. If you want the more of God in your ministry, stop trying to understand. He never asked you to understand. He's asked you to obey him. So I go to my church on a Sunday morning. I said, church, somebody here has a farm. Give it up. Now, it's a church of Puerto Ricans and Hispanics, and they're like, I'm sure they're thinking we voted for the wrong guy. My wife was the worship leader. I said, come on, babe, lead worship. Nobody said anything that Sunday. Finally, Sunday, I come back to the pulpit. Serious. Who has the farm? Give it up. Come on, babe, lead worship. Like 2 months passed by. Not like a good pastor. I'm bringing scripture to this issue. I said, Rahab in the Bible, she was not born a prostitute. There's no 5-year-old girl in the United States that wants to be violated. We need to rescue these girls. Who's got the farm? Give it up. Come on, babe. 8 months passed by, y'all, for a while. After, like, towards the eight months, I'm like, come on, church. Serious, man, who has the farm? Come on, baby, On the 8th month, a lady came to me and said, Pastor Choco, my uncle, his wife of 42 years, just passed away. Wow. 15 acres, 3 hours from the city of Chicago. He heard you wanted to rescue girls from prostitution and human trafficking. He's got a farm, 15 acres. I sold it to you for $160,000. That was in a Sunday. Monday, I head towards the farm with my wife, some of the elders of the church. I walked around the farm. I come back to the elders and my wife. I said, thus saith the Lord. We don't talk like that anymore. We should. We should hold God to his word. You said. I said, thus saith the Lord. This is the farm that God has for us. And we're going to rescue girls and blah, 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 blah. And one of the elders said, Pastor Chaka, this is the first time we looked at anything. Let's look at Milwaukee or Michigan. I'm like, get behind me, Satan. I didn't say that, but I wanted to. And I said, so you know that my father is with me. He's going to give me the money cash. I will not have to take a loan because my father, here's the issue with us Hispanics. Let me help you out. We Hispanics believe the entire Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation. We don't get stuck. We don't get stuck with Jonah. Was it really a fish? What do you care? If it's a goldfish, a red carp, I don't care. My God can do anything. This is us. And I said, my father has a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's going to sell the cattle and send me the money. And so I come back to the city of Chicago, 3-hour drive, go to my office. A week passed by. I said, what's up, Lord? Where's the money? And then the Lord dropped something in my heart. Run. Oh, you want me to run from Cambridge, Illinois to Chicago? That's 182 miles. So I come to the church. I said, church, here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to run. I'm going to ride bike. It's going to take me 3 days, 100. And the church, Gloria a Dios, hallelujah, praise the Lord. After the service, my wife Elizabeth said, babe, can I talk to you? I said, what's up? She says, you're not a runner. You will die on the first mile. I said, I know. Jesus said, if you try to preserve your life, you've lost it. But if you lose your life for me, you found it. 7 o'clock in the morning in December, a late November, early December, I'm running from the farm. Running, riding bike. There were 7 guys with me. We ran 182 miles, boom, boom, boom. And rode bike, took us 3 days. My children, my son and my daughters were there giving me Gatorade. Go, puppy, you can do it, puppy. Like after the 10 miles, I'm like, shut up, man. My back is hurting, my ankles were swollen. Anyway, make a long story short, I get back to the church. The police are waiting for me. They're giving me an escort into my community. Yada, yada. The church is packed like this, packed. After the church, I go find the accountant. I said, bro, that's how we talk in the city of Chicago. Bro. How much did we raise? He says, Pastor, sit down. I said, no, tell me. He said, we only raised $13,000. I said, you mean $113,000? And no, $13,000. I leave the accountant. I go upstairs to my office. I close the door. I have a discourse with my father. Kill me. Why are you making me run for $13,000? My back is hurting. My ankles are swollen. What's up with you? I need $160,000. Phone rings. Boom. Hey, what's going on? Hey, Pastor Choco. I heard you have a shelter. I do. I have 35 homeless women and children that live with us. He said, well, my wife and I want to give you a washer and dryer for your shelter. I said, awesome. They come the next day. They unload the washer and dryer. He comes up to my office. Tell me about the run. I told him that my kids were there every 2 miles giving me Gatorade. I told him that with revelation comes responsibility. I told him that no girl is born a prostitute. He starts crying. His wife starts crying. He stands up. He says, Pastor Choco, I haven't even talked to my wife. But if your church can raise $40,000 in this month of December, my wife and I will give you the rest of the money to buy your farm. Wow. Go to church following Sunday. Go to church. I said, church, Somebody here has a farm. Somebody has $40,000. Give it up. Come on, baby, worship. We raised the money. We raised the money. We bought the farm. 742 women have been rescued from prostitution. Transformational leader does things. Stand with me for a moment. Stand with me for a moment. A transformational leader does things that others don't do. You need faith. The key word there is faith. There's only two times in the Bible where Jesus is amazed by the faith of an individual. Two times. He's amazed by their lack of faith many times. The centurion soldier would be one where Jesus was amazed by the faith of that person. And then the widow would be the second person. And the Bible says that the widow gave two coins. If you keep reading, it says, and she gave everything she had. Listen to me. The kingdom of heaven will never be in a recession. Never. So what you hear in the news about a recession and what's going on with the talks, I'm like, I don't care. Because we don't operate in this economy. We operate in the economy of faith. Leaders, transformational leaders, they say things, they feel things, they believe things, they do things that others don't do. I mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I mentioned Dr. King, I mentioned John the Baptist, I mentioned Jesus Christ. What do all these people have in common? They were all killed. So, Pastor, the moment you decide to be transformational in Hudson Valley, just be prepared. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you for these men and women that you've called to be world changers, giant killers, men and women who are transformational. Would you continue to bless them as they go into their workshops, deepen their knowledge and wisdom. Help us throughout this day to bring glory and honor to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen, amen. You have 5 minutes to get to your workshop. Off you go. God bless you.